started this passage last week. I didn't get as far as I thought we would, but Lord willing, we'll finish up this week. If you remember, we were talking about the sin of blasphemy and how that Peter, as a child of God, one of the Lord's disciples, he was warned of the Lord that Satan desired to sift him as wheat. Peter, of course, said, "There's no way, I'll never deny you." And then, of course, he did. The Lord told him, he said, "Before the cock crows this morning, you will deny me three times." Peter didn't believe him. But we all know what happened. He stood by the fire. Little maid accused him of being one of the Lord's disciples. And he told that girl that he didn't know the Lord. Then another man said, "You are one of his followers." And he said, "I don't know his followers." Then another said, "Your speech betrays you. You definitely are one of them Christians." And Peter then cursed. And as soon as he did, the rooster crowed. And the Bible just says that Peter looked up, and wherever Jesus had been, he was being taken, and their eyes met. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The devil got him to blaspheme God. The devil would love to get us to blaspheme God. He would love to get us to get mad at God, to not trust God, to say wicked things, to cause hurt to the testimony of the Lord. So you see here, a child of God can do that. Peter did. But we're going to pick up now in verse number 63. We're going to see a lost crowd and what they did to the Lord. Starting in verse 63, if you're able to, let's stand as we read the scriptures. If you're not able to, I promise the Lord understands that. Verse number 63 says, "And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am. And they said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. Father, I pray that, Lord, you just please take this passage that we've read. I pray you'd help me to have your strength and your wisdom to preach. And Lord, I pray that your word would be lifted up, and Lord Jesus Christ would be preached today. Lord, I pray that we'd all examine our hearts and what the passage would have for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We talked about last week, number one, how Jesus was denied. And then we talked about Peter, how the Lord denied, or Peter denied the Lord. Now we get to number two. Not only was Jesus denied, but number two, Jesus is derided. Jesus is derided. In verses 63 to 65, you see, first of all, in verse number 63, he is badgered by men. It says there, "And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him." They mocked him. They made fun of him. They used their words. They used their jokes to make fun of the Lord. They mocked him. And we live in a world today that enjoys mocking Jesus. A lot of television shows that are very popular make fun of the Lord. We as Christians should never, ever laugh or endorse that junk. There are lost people that will laugh at your faith, say that Jesus doesn't exist. They'll make fun of him. Some of the most popular nighttime sketches written make fun of the Lord. And I want to tell everybody that that is a blasphemous thing to do. You say, "Well, we're all Christians. We're not making fun of the Lord." Well, Maybe not with our words, but sometimes our life can blaspheme what Christ is. But these people, they gather together and they begin to badger the Lord. Look back real quick in Mark chapter 14. A few pages back to the left. Look at this verse with me real quick. Mark chapter 14. We get a little bit more detail, and I think it'd be good to read it. In Mark chapter 14 and verse number 55, it's the same time Jesus is taken. What Luke says is that they mocked him and they smote him. In Mark chapter 14, look in verse number 55. It says, "And the chief priest and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, 'We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But neither did their witnesses agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it with which these witnesses against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" So we have here a little bit more detail. We can go back to Luke about what took place. They took Jesus. Let's rewind a little bit. Remember, they took him from the garden. They took him to the chief priest. They took him to Annas' house. And this is not the trial. What they're doing here is they're trying to get their case together so that when they go before the trial, that they'll have a good accusation and a charge to make against him. So as they bring him into Annas' house, we see here in our passage in Luke that they began to mock him. They made fun of him. Now, I don't know what all they did, but they made fun of him. But they had to get some sort of charge against him, so they brought in all these people to give a testimony against the Lord that they could accuse him and then he'd be found guilty. But the problem is, everybody that came in, they were lying. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect and there's nothing, no accusation that could ever stick against the Lord in a negative way. But they tried. And they brought in all these people, but the problem is their stories never agreed with each other. One guy said he did this, said this. Another guy said he said something differently. One guy said he went here. Another guy said he didn't go there. And so they never could get a story together. So he decided then, well, if I can't get an accusation, then we'll try to trap him in his words. And that's when they ask him, "Are you the Christ?" But you see, back in our text, they badgered him. Secondly, they beat him. In verse number 63, the last part of the verse is, they not only mocked him, but they smote him. They smote him. I just want to again remind us, it's a very much danger that we live in. We get so used to the Lord and what he did for us that we take things for granted. Let's remind ourselves who we're talking about. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is the one who died for us. He is the Son of God. He is precious. He is holy. He loves us. He's our great physician and our greatest friend. The Lord Jesus Christ, without him, we would have no hope. Every one of us in this auditorium, whether you're saved or not, you ought to be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to stop and reflect and be thankful for all that Jesus Christ has done for us. Without Jesus Christ, you and I would be lost and on our way to hell. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we would have no hope of salvation. And to know that Jesus left all of heaven to come here to this earth for the purpose of dying for our sin, for the purpose of taking all of our guilt upon himself, for the purpose of him being taken here and made fun of, and then they took their hands and they began to strike him. They began to beat him. They would kick him. Then they mocked him. You'll notice in the next verse that not only did they badger him, and not only did they beat him, but they blindfolded him. They took something and they put it over his eyes, and then one by one they walked over and they struck the Lord Jesus Christ. And then one of them said, "Hey, if you're really God, tell us who hit you." And I want you to know this, that he knew. I want you to know this. I believe that every angel in heaven knew. At just the word, I believe they had hand on sword ready to come. This was Jesus. This was God's Son. Man shouldn't do that to Jesus. He created them. They have no right. It ought to kind of bother us what these people did to Jesus. How they mocked him and how they beat him and how they made fun of him and they blindfolded him. Then they said, "Hey, tell us who kicked you." And he knew, but he never said a word. They were having a heyday with God. But not only did they badger him, and not only did they beat him, not only did they blindfold him, but look at the next verse there in verse number 65. It says there in verse 65, "And many other things blasphemously spake they against him." They blasphemed him. So what kind of things did they say? I have no idea, but it was wicked. It was wicked. They said things and blasphemed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you and I can sit here and we can say, "Boy, those guys were wicked. Those guys, they should be punished, man. We can get upset at them, or we could say, "Boy, thank you, Lord, for what all you went through for us to be saved." But I want to stop and let's just rehearse what these guys did. Number one, they took very lightly who they were dealing with. Amen? They took lightly. They didn't understand who they were dealing with. Number two, they attacked him very nonchalantly. They kicked him. They smote him. Number three, they thought they blindfolded him and that he wouldn't see who was doing it, that he wouldn't notice. And that led to number four, they greatly blasphemed God. Say, what's the point? I'd say there's many of us in this auditorium who take way too lightly the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many of us who treat him very nonchalantly. There's many of us in this auditorium who think him to be blind and that he's not seeing what we're doing or what we're saying. Think we're going to get by with it. And that's blasphemy. I believe I'm speaking to Christians today, not obviously everyone, but I'd say I know this, I've been guilty. And I know this, you've been guilty. I know this, you might be guilty this morning. No, you're not taking Jesus and you're not punching him in the gut. You're not taking your hand and pulling the beard out of his face. You're not taking a reed and slapping him across the face. While you may not be doing those things, you still are taking him very lightly. You're taking and treating the Lord Jesus Christ nonchalantly. You're thinking about all you've heard so many times. Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus loves everybody. Jesus died on the cross. He died for my sin. And you take him so lightly that you're one day going to open your eyes in hell someday because you never put your faith and trust in him. You got so familiar with the story. You hear things and you take Jesus lightly. You say his name all the time in an irreverent way. You speak about God or you take his word. The Bible says we have his word and his word is precious. Those are the very words of God. And when you read it and you say, "Yeah, I don't agree with it. Yeah, I'm not going to live that way." You are blaspheming God. Amen. We as Christians seem today have trained ourselves to say stuff like this. "Well, it's not a sin if you're not convicted about it." Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. You know when it's a sin? When it's in the Bible. You and I, before we were saved, when we didn't even know what sin was, we were committing sin. Trust me, you weren't convicted about it before you got saved. But it doesn't change the fact that it was wrong. And we can sometimes, as Christians, can sit there and say, "Well, I know what the Bible says, but I'm not convicted about it. I'm not going to live that way. I don't really care how your feelings are. It's what does the Bible say?" You say, "Well, I don't want to." You're blaspheming God. Amen. You see, when we take his word lightly and we just flippantly, you know, choose what we like to, hey, you know, God is love. Oh, I love that verse. I mean, who doesn't love that verse, right? And God is love. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God is love. What a wonderful thought that is today. And that is the absolute truth. Amen for that. Every one of you ought to smile, but you're not because you know what's coming, right? Just as much as God is love, he is perfectly just. The Bible also says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So, well, I'm getting by with it. So did they. So did they. Somebody took their fist. Someone took their fist, blindfolded the Lord, drew back, and hit him across the face. Bruised his eye. And they laughed. And they weren't afraid, because nothing happened to him. So they gave more boldness to the next guy. Nothing happened to him. So he takes his hand, he hits him in the gut. Jesus gasps for breath, and he walks back, and they all laugh. So the next guy sees a rod sitting there, and he picks it up, and he goes, watch this, and hits him across the head with it. Then they all laugh, and nothing happened to him. But I want you to know that if he had thought the thought, they would have fell back as dead men. But that wasn't his plan. If he'd have looked up to heaven and nodded, the angels of heaven would have came down and lifted him out. But that wasn't his plan. And the Son of God allowed himself to be hit by man, stricken by man. Someone walked up, we know this from the book of John, they walked up, they were laughing. They went, spit on him. Oh, that was awesome. They loved that. You know what he said? Nothing. Was he weak? There's never been a more powerful man on the face of this earth. Could he not done anything? He could have done whatever he wanted to. Let me tell you why he sat there and he never said a word. Now, everybody look at me. Because he loves you. And he is long-suffering. And he is patient. There are some Christians who are taking the Bible, taking church, taking salvation, treating it so flippantly. You'll sit through service after service and you know you're not right, but you're not going to get right. And you look back and your excuse is this: I'm okay. Nothing's happening to me. I've said no to God for many services. I'm sitting here again, healthy, happy. So is this guy when he struck him. So is this guy when he spat upon him. So is this guy when he punched him. They took a step back, and can you imagine the first guy that did it? Bet he was scared. Bet he was. I mean, this is Jesus. They all knew. He raised people from the dead. He healed the blind. There was no disputing these things. He was obviously something special about him. When the first guy struck him, he no doubt stood back. His hand was fine. He was fine. And he left. Not what he says he is. Which gave more boldness to the next guy, right? Which gave more boldness to the next guy. And pretty soon, they're kicking him, spitting on him, punching him, hitting him with sticks. Thinking, no big deal. And some of you look at me. There's some things in your life you know aren't right. You see it in the Bible, but and let me tell you. You say, well, I'm getting by with it. My life's okay. Because God is very patient. And he's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. And so he gives us opportunity after opportunity. But mark my words. There are children who are watching you. And there are other people in this church who are watching you. Look at me. There's other people who are watching. cousins, uncles, grandparents, children, fathers, mothers, who maybe aren't saved or want nothing to do with God, and they see your hypocrisy, and they see your blasphemy, and they see your smugness about things, and trust me, they're going to be more bold than you are. When the second guy got by with it, when the third guy got by with it, the next guy didn't even think twice about kicking him in the ribs. He just thought it was fun. You can sit here and play with your sin, and you can sit in church and feel uncomfortable about it, but hey, God's not done nothing to me. I'll keep on watching the filth. I'll keep on drinking the stuff. I'll keep on listening to that. I'll keep on wearing the... I'll just do whatever I want to do. God hasn't done nothing to me because He's patient and He loves you. He doesn't want you to perish. But guess what? He's giving you opportunity again today to hear the truth. And you can sit there and just kind of brush it off your back and say, yeah, I've heard it before, but I'm telling you, you're not only hurting you, but there are people looking at you, there are people watching you, and they're going to be more bold than you ever thought about being. You hide it. They won't. You feel uncomfortable in church. They won't. They'll just do it. Why? Because we take lightly the Lord Jesus Christ. And these people thought, every time they struck him, they got more bold. They thought, understand, look at me. Then they blindfolded him. You know what they thought? He can't see. And I believe these are steps, by the way, towards blasphemy. They ended up blasphemously speaking against them. What did they do? Look at me, let's review. They took Jesus way too lightly. They didn't realize who they were dealing with. Then they began to do things a little bit more bold. Then they thought, God's not even seeing. He can't see me. He don't even know who did that. I'm getting by with this. Can I fast forward a little bit? Everybody look at me a second. Those men died one day. I hope some of them got saved. I got a feeling one did at least. There was one standing at the foot of the cross by the time Jesus died. And he looked up after seeing everything, a soldier, and he said, surely, surely, this is the Son of God. I don't know what those men ended up doing the rest of their life, but if they didn't get saved, or if they did, I'll tell you this, they will stand before that same Jesus. They will look into his eyes, and they will know he's right. He is God. And they were wrong. They derided the Lord. Then you see, lastly, when we wrap this up, Jesus is divine. He's divine. They finally get their case together. Because they ask him in Annas' house, it's almost daytime, they got to get some sort of charge against him. So Annas says, are you the Son of God? Jesus doesn't argue. That's it. That's what we will charge him with. Claiming he is God and leading a rebellion against the Romans. It's perfect. Now they would do it in two steps. First, they would accuse him of being God. That would get all the Jews rallied that he is blasphemy and that Jesus is not God. And then they would take him to Pilate and that he was rousing up the Jews to do a rebellion against the Romans. Perfect plan. So they leave Annas' house. And they take him, verse number 66, to the Jewish council. It's about 5 o'clock in the morning now. Verse number 66. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together. So they go to this religious council and led him into their council. They get there and they bring in Jesus and they bring in all these people. They tried to get a bunch of witnesses, but none of them worked out. They all lied, and their stories didn't match, but now they had a perfect charge against him. There you see their confrontation. You see the council in verse 66, and now the confrontation. Verse number 67, here's their charge. Can you see them? The council is all chattering. It's a very exciting day. Finally, Jesus is standing before them. Annas, or Caiaphas, one, stands up and calls for attention. The room goes silent. With a smirk on his face, he looks at Jesus and says, art thou the Christ? Jesus says nothing. Tell us. Jesus, for the first time, opens his mouth and says, if I tell you, you'll not believe. Can I share something real quick, church? When we have lived a life of blasphemy for so long, we get so hard-hearted. It doesn't matter if I got down on my knees and begged you and we had the world's greatest preacher or the greatest preacher ever in times past come and preach his heart out. If you don't want to hear it, you ain't going to hear it. If you're sitting there saying, please, please say bow your head so we can get out of here. Your heart is hardened and you're in danger. And I love you and I'm begging you, would you soften your heart today? God doesn't want this for you. God doesn't want you to die in your sins. God doesn't want you to live a blasphemous life. He wants to save you. He wants to do great things for you. You see, first of all, he exposes their disbelief. He says, if I tell you, you won't believe. In Mark chapter 3 and verse number 29, the ultimate form of blasphemy. Let's look at it. It's important. Mark chapter 3. Then we'll wrap this up. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3 and verse number 29. There's a chance to look there. Mark 3 and verse number 29. I'm going to do something a little bit different because I want us to not sit there and stare at a Bible. I want you to read it out loud with me, all right? If you're able to. If not, listen close. Ready? Everyone read it with me. Mark 3, 29. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but it is in danger of eternal damnation. So what does that verse mean? That if you sit here today and the Holy Spirit says, hey, hey, would you please listen to that preacher? If you're sitting here today and the Holy Spirit says, hey, please, would you get right? And you know in your heart you're wrong, you know in your heart you're not saved, or you know in your heart you're living this life of blasphemy, whether you're saved or not, and the Holy Spirit says, and he'll speak in a still, small voice, you'll know in your heart that you, why don't you get right? You sit there and say, no. And you'll say no to the Holy Spirit. And what it's like is the first guy. You step back. Nothing happened. And you'll say no to the Holy Spirit. And then you're able to come back the next week and you sit through a sermon and the Holy Spirit again speaks to you. If you say no again, say, no! And you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the next time, says, hey, that's you. Get right today. Jesus loves you. He's died for you. Accept his forgiveness. Hey, believer, quit living contrary to his word. Let God bless you. Man, you may even wear up with tears in your eyes. I mean, the Holy Spirit's convicting you. And you know you're wrong. You know what you need to do. And finally, you're at a point of decision. You stood in your pew like this during an invitation. You've maybe even taken a step. During an invitation, you're asking, is anyone lost? You won't raise your hand, but you're getting close. You do one of these, and then you scratch your head as a way to feel ease your own conscience. But when it comes down to it, again, you say, no! If you continue to say no, eventually the Holy Spirit says, would you please? No. You no longer feel that conviction anymore. You're like the guy standing over the Lord, kicking him. No fear at all. Spitting upon him. What's he going to do? The Holy Spirit says again this morning, okay, please get right with God. No! And eventually you'll say no for the last time. And you'll be able to sit through a service and you're so hard-hearted, even though the Holy Spirit's there, you don't hear Him. You just want to get out. You'll look for every excuse not to go to church. You'll hate when your family talks to you about religion. Why? No. 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 Jesus said that is the ultimate blaspheme. When one day you open your eyes after death and you are in hell. Eternal damnation. You know what you'll do in hell? I got proof. Luke chapter 16, don't turn there. There's a rich man that went to hell. This is a true story. And the Lord gives us a little information here. You know what He said? Help me! I can't. Please, I'm tormented. Just one drop of water. I can't. Well, to send someone to go tell my family they can't come here. They have the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is convicting them. And if you could open up hell today and hear the cries, they wouldn't beg you to come to them. They wouldn't tell you what a party it is. They would warn you. They would scream. They would holler. They would say, please get right. Tell my brother. Don't let him come here. But tonight, all across this country, some people will like a game more than going to church. But tonight, people will walk out of churches all across this country and nod and then go sit on a bar stool. It's blasphemy. And right now, maybe you're sitting there this morning and the Holy Spirit says, please. Please. He exposes their disbelief. The Lord exposes their determination. Verse 68, the Lord says, and if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. The Lord exposed them and said, even if I told you the answer to your question, there is no chance you're going to free me, and you will not believe me. They were determined to see Him die. Then He exposes their destiny in verse number 69. Even though He said, the Lord said, I'll not answer you on your terms. But then the Lord answers Him on His terms. Verse 69, hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. He exposes their destiny. You say, what do you mean their destiny? All He did talked about how He is going to sit at the right hand of God. That's exactly right. He was exposing their destiny. That someday, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Even if you're lost and you die lost, you will one day stand before the Lord and recognize, I was wrong. He is right. Every knee will bow. And the Lord says, the Son of Man, that's the title He referred to Himself, sit on the right hand of the power of God. And now Caiaphas, oh, He's got it. We're done. Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And He said unto them, ye say that I am. He exposes their delusion. They think, say, what's their delusion? They think they got Him. They think they trapped Him. As soon as He said that, and He said, well, are you then the Son of God? Jesus said, and that phrase that He repeated means this. I'll put it in 2017, ready? You said it. What more needs to be said? The ultimate blasphemer, he says he's God. We will have you killed. Jesus sits there and looks at him, doesn't say anything else. because they thought they were in charge. What they did not know is Jesus was working his perfect plan. What they didn't know is that he was giving his life for them. What love. Amazing love. How can it be that God would give his life for me? Those guys who kicked him, he was going to the cross to save them. Isn't that awesome? Say, did any of them get saved? I don't know. I told you about a centurion I believe did. But I don't know. But I'm telling you this, he died for them and they could have gotten saved. I don't know who in this room will go to hell someday. I hope no one. But I can tell you this, that Jesus died for every one of you so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. The problem was they didn't believe and they went on their blasphemous way. Don't do the same. Father, I pray.